and it works out. I believe that the Lord Jesus spoke about this, so I want to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. This is an amazing teaching that Jesus did, and it kind of clarified some things, because at the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they seemed to be in charge of the religious system there. They seemed to dominate everything. And so Jesus, he went up on a mountain, and he called the disciples, and there was multitudes there, and he established something forever. And these principles of being blessed are so needed today. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall rival you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Lord, bless your word today. Open our hearts, understanding about being blessed. Jesus' name, and everyone said, I'm going to talk about three of these today, and I think it's so significant. The first one, blessed are the poor in spirit. This first beatitude is the source of all the others. This one, root system for all the other beatitudes, poor in spirit. Well, what does that mean, poor in spirit? It means a conscious awareness that one lacks the vital elements to live unless totally dependent on God. Let me say that again. Poor in spirit, it means a conscious awareness that one lacks the vital elements to live unless totally dependent on God. Independent means I can live without God. That I'm smart enough. I have enough money. I have enough talents. I don't need God. But someone poor in spirit is very conscious that even though I have talents and abilities, they cannot be a substitute for the life that God gives, for the power that God gives. I don't know about you, but when I went to school, went to high school, especially going to junior high, I felt so out of place, felt so inadequate. You know, I would admire some of the other students that seemed to have it together, seemed to be able to flow with great personalities and laughing and seemed to be in charge of this club. I felt very insecure. I felt like I never measured up. Someone who's poor in spirit doesn't mean I'm walking around complaining, but it does mean that I've allowed life and experiences to deal with me enough to realize that even though I try, I come short of the glory of God. And there comes a time in all of our lives that we begin to realize, as much as I've been endowed with, without the touch of Jesus, without the touch of God's life, my talents and my abilities will come short. It's amazing. All of the other Beatitudes are from this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, free from pride, arrogancy, free from rebellion and I can do itism, free from the things of the world that says, just do your dream. I'm here to do God's dream for me. I'm not here to do anybody's dream, but God's. Joseph didn't do his own dream. That wasn't his dream that God gave him. Ezekiel didn't do his dream when God showed him the glory descending and leaving the temple and going out to the people of God. Jonah thought it was all right to do his dream, to avoid his assignment. But he found out it's better to do the dream of God. Someone poor in spirit, you hear him say these words, I want the will of God in my life. I want to be more like Jesus Christ. I want to make sure my life counts. Someone poor in spirit might seem a little melancholic, might seem a little quiet and intense, but they've settled some things that they don't use their personality and charm to try to influence people, but rather they have become a quiet and meek soul, which causes people to be attracted. Listen, people are not attracted to outward arrogance and personality. Now, the people of the world are. That's why we try to make people stars and celebrities, and the world eats it up. But God said, I'm going to tell you where I live. I live on the street of a broken and contrite heart. That's who I dwell with, God said. Someone poor in spirit not only has been broken, but contrite. Actually, the word contrition is a pharmaceutical term. They would take the bone cup and put the pills, and they would grind it. They would be contrite. Doesn't mean I live a sad life. It just means those things that cause my life to be hell have been broken and eradicated. And I stand every morning before the Son of God. What is your will today, Lord? Not mine. I don't need to repeat the years I did my thing and almost lost my mind, almost lost my life. You see, someone poor in spirit, they're not aggressive towards other believers. They're free from manipulation and spiritual antidotes that try to persuade someone how spiritual they are. The poor in spirit, it's not just a heart condition, but a journey that little by little evokes an interior attitude of humility, littleness, and openness to God, of confident hope in His mercy. It's a journey. And you know, it's the attribute of Christ when He came to this world. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He were rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. On the cross, we can see the fruit and evidence of this. When He said, Father, not my will, but thine, in the garden and on the cross, Father, forgive them. My forgiveness and how quickly I forgive is tied to how much poor in spirit I am. If I harbor things and take weeks to forgive, then I'm not as poor in spirit as I thought. But that's okay, because we're on a journey. But there has to come some place in our spiritual life, an understanding that God didn't call me just to use me. God called me to be His son and daughter, and to take his nature on. Amen. God has to live with us forever. So he's working in us. Because God don't like ugly. And God don't like manipulation. And God doesn't like judgment and racism. And God doesn't like hate. And God doesn't like jealousy. So he leaves us down here to be under the word of the Lord and under a prayer and worship. Why? To transform us by the renewing of our mind, that we might know, understand what is the perfect will of God. That's not only perfect, it's good. It's a good thing. And it's acceptable. But see, none of this will work if I'm not poor in spirit. Because it starts on the inside. You know, and I believe that this year, if I've learned anything about 2021, if I've learned this, being somebody in Christ is more important than doing something for Christ. Because every preacher and every ministry around the world has had to shut things down. And at that moment, we can despair, or we can realize there might be some wells that were stopped up by the Philistines that Isaac had to dig. I might have some wells in me I need to redig. I might have to expand some things and begin to cut off some things that don't profit. Being someone in Christ is always first rather than doing. You know, the 70 disciples healed and cast out demons, came to Jesus, and they were all happy. And Jesus said, well, I understand that, guys, but it's really about your names in the book of life. Then he goes, by the way, I want you to be something. I want you to identify with me. Identifying with me is not just doing my works. Identifying with me is my death and resurrection. And then he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, unless you identify with me and who I am, that I'm willing to sacrifice, I'm willing to die, that my spirit is free of ambition, unless you're willing to identify with that, all the other things really are not going to matter right now. And they said, we can't do that. We can't identify with that. We don't want to identify with death and dying, and we don't want to be poor in spirit. I mean, we just cast out devils. And they left. But thank God for Peter. Jesus turns to Peter. Are you going too, Peter? Lord, where are we going to go? You're the source of eternal life. I'm not going anywhere, despite all the faults Peter had, he got this one right. You know, to become like Christ is a process, but it's really the goal for the Father, of the Father for us. Amen. The next one, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The second beatitude is a promise of consolation for the afflicted. How many have ever been afflicted? How many have been afflicted emotionally, mentally, in your thoughts? I don't like physical pain at all. How many like physical pain? But what's worse is the old painy up here in the noodle. Because then you need a checkup from the neck up. Amen. You see, there is emotional pain that's worse. And the studies I've done is dis-ease is your body reacting a lot of times, and I know sometimes it's age and chemicals and what we eat, but your body does respond to stress, sadness, and worry. Many years ago, we went down to Florida, and we went to some museum or something, I don't remember, and they had this computer set up, and it said, this computer can detect when you have anxious thoughts. I go, I don't believe that. Unbeliever at that time. So, okay, I'll try this thing. So I go over there and put these things on my fingers, both hands. And I was kind of like, okay. And then it goes, okay, I want you to think about something very negative that happened to you as a child. Think about it for a minute and then press this button. So I found something and thought about it. And I pressed the button. Over here was a positive response in your body. Over here was a negative response. I pushed that thing and I went, ding. Oh, okay, you know, hey, you know, all right, now I want you to pick your greatest, happiest moment in your life. I said, okay, we'll see what this thing does here. I'm still skeptical. I didn't push the button. I went, Do it again. Happy. Do it again. Another negative. Totally accurate. And it was trying to communicate the effect of our thoughts on our body. That stress is a killer. That it doesn't break the body down immediately. But after decades of patterns of negativity, negative energy, it does break down the cells. Yeah. But Jesus said, if you mourn, I'm not going to let you stay there. We've all mourned. Psalm 30, verse 11, I love this. Thou hast turned for me. Everybody say me. How many know God's a personal God? Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. How many have raised some children? It's different when they're little. They hit 12, 13. Who am I talking to? Somebody help me preach here? See, Dad knew everything at 8. He was the hero. He could fix anything. At 13, he kind of was, and at 15, he was no longer. Dad, you know, you're behind, you know. You know, you're not up to date with some things. I mean, I'm talking about, thank God as they get older, they come back and realize Dad wasn't as dumb as they thought. Who's with me today? Amen. You know, thou hast put it off and made my mourning into dancing. I wish to God I could say every day I get up, I'm dancing. I wish to God I could say I never get up. And sometimes something's bothering me and I'm mourning. The only thing I know to do is to get up, put Pandora on, put some praise on, and just sit there and praise God. God, I can't fix this. I can't change anybody's heart. I can't make revival come. I can't make your people be faithful. God, I've cast this burden. See, Paul said, what's come upon me is the care of all the churches. There is a caring. There is a burden. But the Bible says, cast your burden on the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me to be more effective and fruitful for your kingdom's sake. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. That's a promise. God is not going to leave you in the mourning, not physical mourning or the mourning day, but he's not going to leave you in a mourning position. Doesn't mean weeping won't endure for a night. It doesn't mean that you don't need other believers' support for a period of time. But God promised through Jesus, he's going to turn it. That's why I have to be poor in spirit, because you can't turn some mourning by yourself. There are people that get depressed and suicidal because they cannot mourn, they cannot turn it around, and there's no drug that can turn it around. There's only the great physician. Jesus is our life. He is our source. You have turned my mourning into dancing. Praise God. The third one, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Now that's powerful to me. The Word of God just doesn't make statements without God backing it up. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. This is the thing with meekness that we don't understand. A person with the meekness of Christ might seem weak. They're not the first one to talk. They're not the first one to share their opinion. They're not loud, boisterous. It's kind of quiet, kind of meek. And we look at it as weakness because we take people and we try to reflect upon the judgment of our own life, their status, compared to who we believe we are. So what happens is someone that's meek, man, they're just weak. That's not how God looks at it. I said, that's not how God looks at it. See, a meek and quiet spirit is a great price in the sight of God. That does not mean that we cannot express ourselves or talk or laugh. But way down inside, past feelings and emotions, past presumptuous appearance of who we're trying to be in front of others, is the heart where God looks. God's looking for himself in our heart. He's looking for Jesus in our heart. And the first thing is the poor in spirit, but he's also looking for the meek heart of Jesus. Jesus said, take my yoke, for I am meek and lowly. If we would take a year and just preached that every service, we might move forward a little bit in being a meek person. You see, it's not just the great revival we're believing for. I look for the revival, first of all, in the mirror. I don't like it when I go 2 or 3 years and there's still deposits of pride. There's still, I've got to have it my way, or my opinion is really better than yours. Revival starts in the mirror. Oh, Jesus. Yes, I want the world saved. Yes, I want this one healed. But Lord, all that can happen and me not have your spirit. Paul said this, Colossians 3:12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience with all lowliness and meekness, with patience forbearing one another in love. How many put their winter coat on this morning? Anybody? How many just wish it was 85 again and the summer's out? Bless Mike and Bessie, they went to South Carolina, and I texted him. I said, because they drove right through that storm that came across. He said it was really rough. I said, bless your heart. He said, it's really cold down here. But you have to put something on. You know what that tells me? Not only is meekness a developed fruit of the Spirit through a humbling and a contrition, meekness is also a choice. Yeah. I chose to put on this morning. I've had this shirt 10 years. It's the best shirt I've ever had. I know you haven't seen this in this combination much, but anyway. Yeah, I love it. I was going to wear a sport coat. No. I was going to wear that red thing. No. I chose to put this on. I choose to put on meekness. Yeah. See, Jesus did not answer the Pharisees at certain times, and he opened not his mouth. That's meekness. I don't know about you. Have you ever been in some juicy conversations? And the one or the other one, they don't agree at all with you. How many's real out there? Anybody that's real? Could be family. It probably was at Christmas time anyway. Juicy. And you can feel that. You can feel the juice. You're not talking about the weather. I wish you would have, but it's just, it kind of goes and juicy, juicy. And that's the thing. There's always someone in the conversation that's kind of, let me just say it, oblivious that the dynamite's ready to explode. You see? When it gets about there, I'm kind of like, okay, hey, let's talk about the football game. I try to redirect it. But some don't get the clue. And when it gets about this high, that's usually when we say the wrong thing. Meekness realizes, as much as I'm irritated, I can't strike the rock twice. Because I lose at that point. Even though I might be right and I've won the argument. Okay. Jesus never fought with the Pharisees. In meekness, he said, you know, how are you going to escape hell? I don't think he screamed at him when he said that. So anyway, whatever that's for, that's for me. Amen. Everybody say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Doesn't mean I walk around, I don't have enough. God says you have enough. Doesn't mean I walk around saying I'm no good. Yes, you are, the righteousness of Christ. I don't walk around saying, well, woe is me. No, it doesn't mean that. It means I've come to the place in my life, even though I have spiritual knowledge and even though I can quote scripture, still there's a greater dependency upon God working in me that I'm not done. And that I have to look at myself as a piece of work and I have to look at everyone else as a piece of work, and together we're all going to arrive at the same station at the same time, God willing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Yeah, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The whole kingdom from this part of my heart. I don't get in arguments with other Christians. We might talk about it. I don't debate them. I don't say you're better. I'm better. We do this better at our church. I don't do that stuff. I want to know how much of Jesus you've got. Whether you're in this denomination or that, or you sing or have dancers in your church or lights or smoke, okay, great. But how much of the Lord Jesus Christ can we commune with each other? Can you tell me something about my Lord that I don't know because I want to know more about him? Can I share something with you I've learned about Jesus? Not debating if women should be preachers. Not debating whether the Holy Spirit's for today. I'm not going to do all that stuff. Because my heart is to know Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. If you're watching today, I'll let you know God sees you where you are. He's knocking at the door. Knock, knock. And he's going to open that door to your heart. If you pray this simple prayer today, he'll come in. Just close your eyes. That's right. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I accept you today in Jesus' name. And if you pray that with us today, visit our website. We'd love to correspond with you. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and God gives it to whoever he will. He doesn't give it to the self-sufficient. He doesn't give it to those that have no need of no one else. He gives it to the poor in spirit. May God's righteousness, peace, and joy be with you. May you prepare your heart to meet the new year, new experiences with God. May God's grace shine upon you. May your coming in and going out be protected by angels. May he grant you the desires of your heart that line up with his heart. May you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's my prayer for you. Father, I thank you now for your people. Let us together stay on this journey of being poor in spirit, the meekness of Christ, the gentleness of our Savior. Let it be said about this house that Jesus, his presence, his nature abides here through his people. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a shout today. Love you. Remember, Wednesday we're having service, but we're not going to have a New Year's at this time. Thank you for coming.